you're here. LSU, Rita, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, July 19th, 2019. It's finally Friday. Woohoo! I'm excited.
If you're a pastor, Sunday's coming.
Yes, Sunday's coming. That's right. Who preached that? Was it E.V. Hill? Or, you know, there was a whole message. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Yeah.
Now. Like a Good Friday message. Yeah, it's a sad time or a sad portion in the life of Jesus. He's been crucified and dead and buried. But Sunday's coming, and you can just imagine how that message turned out. I want to mention somebody that I met the other day, a high-octane couple, Bob and Valerie Williamson. He's the new general manager or owner or operator, I guess you call him, operator and owner of the new upcoming Chick-fil-A that's going to be on Prospect Avenue in Champaign. And had a great discussion with them. I'm trying to see if they'll put the Prime Lifetimes papers there in that unit and, you know, work with us with some future radio events and such. But they're what I'd call a high-capacity couple. Mm. They loved the Lord. They spent some time in this area some years ago, and then I think we're living in Texas for a while. And he served in the Navy for a number of years and went through this whole process to acquire a Chick-fil-A. It's I won't say a grueling, but it's very involved. They want, like, lifers, operators that will really care for the facility. Anyways, so I'm going to have Bob and Valerie in for a Testimony Tuesday in the coming days. But the reason why I want to alert our listeners, besides the fact that, hey, in a couple months, I think they're hoping early October, they'll be all open. But they're going to be hiring about 100 motivated people. They want team members who believe in honor, hustle, humility, high capacity, and hospitality. Mm. What does that mean? We do what's right even when no one is watching. That's the honor, the hustle, the midst of grit, grind, and glory. Humility, putting the needs of others first, high capacity, of culture of excellence, and then hospitality. We exist to serve, not to be served, and they cite Matthew 20:28. And so they're believers, so like I said, Testimony Tuesdays. But they're looking to hire 100 people, and so I think they're going to start that process at the end of this month. But you can find out more by emailing them at hiring.cfa, so that's like Chick-fil-A, champagne@gmail.com. So hiring.cfachampagne@gmail.com. I think they have a Facebook page, and it's just like Chick-fil-A Champagne. That's the location it's at. I liked it the other day, so I think if you put Chick-fil-A and Champagne in, you should be able to stop by. They've been doing some posts and updates on the building and some of the history. In fact, next Tuesday, oh, everyone, tune in next Tuesday. I'm going to have Steve Robinson. He's an author of the book Covert Cows and Chick-fil-A, How Faith, Cows, and Chicken Built an Iconic Brand. And so he's going to talk about some of his faith journey and this book he wrote. In fact, I have a case ordered. It's a really fun read. You're going to really enjoy it. Steve's a believer. He's the former chief marketing officer of Chick-fil-A. I think he served in that capacity or with Chick-fil-A for 30 years, most of those years as their chief marketing officer. It's a phenomenal story. Those of you that love Chick-fil-A, love those chicken sandwiches and such, it's coming to Champaign. But I got this book. I couldn't put it down. And then I talked to Steve and said, is he available? And so Tuesday, you'll hear our conversation and his faith journey. And we'll get this couple, this Bob and Valerie, in the studio in the coming days to share some of their life journey and story. But if you're looking for a job, and you're probably between the ages of like maybe 16 and 93, find out more at the Facebook page, Chick-fil-A Champaign, or I guess I have a specific email, hiring.cfa, I guess that stands for Chick-fil-A, champagne@gmail.com. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that interview and some other ones that I hope to have in the coming days. High octane days, praying up this radio ministry, seeing where God's going to lead next, exciting times ahead for us. And we'll keep you informed as we can share more and more. But we appreciate your prayers and just all the support that continues to come in so we can pay our bills on time. And, you know, we haven't had a fundraiser or anything in over 10 years. So get prepared, everyone. There might be one coming up. But we're just trusting that we'll be walking in the center of the Lord's will. And as He leads, we'll announce and let you know. But we're just excited for the future and what He's even doing this very day. I know yesterday you were in when we had the conversational English class on Thursday, and you came in at the tail end when somebody had said, now, how does it work with Jesus and God and like the Holy Spirit? There's like three gods. And so there was some discussion going on. Nancy and Jim Miller were facilitating that conversation.
I always get softballs.
And then you walk in and you're like, What do you want? And everyone looks at Jason like, the pastor's here. He'll have the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought
you're supposed
pretty good.
To climb the mountain to get the answer, not have the mountain come down to you.
Yeah, yeah. So,
How
did you feel outside of the fact that you were on the spot?
Well, look, you get those questions. When I come in and somebody goes like, oh, he's here, he'll answer it. Usually it's one of those questions where it's a difficult question. And so the first thing I kind of always want to do is diffuse it a little bit, kind of say, you know, bring some levity or just kind of soften it a little bit, because difficult questions are difficult. And sometimes difficult questions don't have any answers. And people are not used to, we don't live in a culture where people are used to there not being an answer for every question. Right. But there are questions in the Bible that are unanswerable. I mean, we have interpretive responses to some things. We have some things that we think through study and academics that we've maybe arrived at. But there is quite a bit of the Bible that is in the territory of mystery. In fact, Paul says that. Paul says, I come and I proclaim to you this mystery about Christ. And so there was a lot that Paul had an idea about. There was some things that Paul was definitely sure about. But I think there was a lot where Paul was like, I'm not exactly quite sure how this thing works. And yet, I trust in all of it. So I think we have to be honest with people that there are things that, you know, even yesterday morning I was sitting down with somebody and I had to say, gosh, I don't have the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why that works that way. I wish I did, but I really do believe that if I had the answer, if you had the answer, if we had the answer, we wouldn't be able to comprehend it. It would be so much bigger than us, and it would just lead us to more questions and doesn't lead us to worship of God, doesn't lead us to glory, doesn't lead us to this place where we just fall on our knees because God is so much bigger than we can even fathom. He's so much bigger than we imagine.
And if we had all the answers, or we thought we did, we wouldn't have to have faith and trust in God.
We'd be God.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd be God. And isn't that how we treat so many people who have all the answers, is we treat them like God. We say, oh my gosh, you know, well, when this happens, I always go to this person. I always quote this thing. I always do this. You can always tell what God's people are following when you just talk to them for a little while, whether it be a sports god or whether it be a television or a movie god or a guru writer or whatever it is.
The Google god that can answer
everything. Yeah, everybody's got some god they're trying to follow. Instead of trying, because most of those gods all give them answers. And the God that we follow in the Bible doesn't always give us answers. And that's the danger. Because when you don't have an answer, you have two choices. This one I've been thinking about quite a bit lately. If we don't have any answer, what we do in the midst of ambiguity is we try and create information. Because we don't like things that are ambiguous. We don't like when we don't understand something. We don't like when we don't have all the information. And so what we'll do is, even if we don't have the information, we'll create some information. Have you ever done that? Have you ever not known how something works, and so you try and fill in the gaps, fill in the blanks yourself? I think we do that a lot when it comes with people, right? Well, I don't know what they're thinking, but... I mean, I've sat with so many people who say that. I don't know what Tom's thinking, but this is what I think he might be thinking. You just told me you didn't know what he was thinking, but now you think you might know what he's thinking?
Yeah, right.
I mean, but I think we do that. Where there's ambiguity, we try and put in information. And with God, there is a great deal that we don't know. And so there's a great deal of trying to fill in the blanks or put information in there where Paul was just honest and said, it's a mystery. I don't know. I don't know why it's this way, but it is. And this is meant for me to, instead of trying to find answers and information, for me to simply worship the God who knows something I don't know, who's bigger than I can imagine, and who I know loves me. That was one of the answers, because they were asking about the Trinity. And I said, you know what, instead of trying to figure out what we don't know, let's talk about what we do know. Mm-hmm. And I used the example, and it was on the fly, so it was maybe a poor illustration trying to compare the two. But I said, you know, my wife, here's what I know about my wife. She loves me. She cares about me. She wants what's best for me. Right now, as I'm working and going and doing the things that I'm doing, she's at home. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know if she's doing the laundry, if she's vacuuming the floor, if she's sitting on the couch, on the internet. I don't know what my wife is doing right now. And when I don't know what she's doing, and I run across a lot of guys who do this, when they don't know what their spouses are doing, they make up things that they might be doing. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she's, who's she talking to? What do I know about my wife? She loves me, she cares about me, and she wants what's best for me. So I might not know what she's doing, but there is something that I do know. I do know about her character. And that's what we rest in. We rest in the character of God and who God is. We know that God loves us with a love that is everlasting. We know that he's holy. He's good. We know that he has great mercy and he cares for us. And he always wants what's best for us, even if it means going through seasons that are difficult and hard to get at what's best for us. But we know these things about God. And so instead of trying to create information and answers pertaining to what we don't know about God, we simply rest in what we do know about God. And I think that that's the difficulty. And that's really a verse that this morning really spoke to me. I have this app on my phone. It's called Dwell. I love it. I love Dwell. It reads the Bible to you. It's got the whole Bible in there. Plus, it's all broken down. You can, like, pick the prayers. You can pick all kinds of things. And what it does is it reads it to you. But
is it free?
No, it's not free. Okay. Not at all. But this is why I love it. It reads it to you, and it has different voices. So you can pick...
the British guy.
You can pick Rosie, Mark, or Gregory, but I always pick my favorite, which is Felix. And Felix is Nigerian. And so I love it. Let's see if we can turn it up here, and we can actually hear it. Oh, yeah.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
And so what I do... is when I get in the car, this thing is the thing, when I get ready to leave the house, I cue this up. So when I get in the car kind of grabs a hold of it to play it through the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing that I hear when I get in the car is I listen to whatever Felix is going to read to me for the day. So today he reads to me from Psalm 119. And I hear his voice and he says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." And I had to, you know, I got my phones kind of mounted on my window thing on this little clip, and I had to hit the pause button because I had to stop and I had to think about that.
Yeah, being afflicted.
Well, I had to think about, why does David say, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes"? Because, listen, this is firmly in the territory where it's a mystery. We don't understand, right? What do you mean it was good? By the way, right away, your sensibilities are offended, aren't they? Because how can being afflicted be good? How can David say, "It was good for me to be afflicted"? How can he possibly say that? There is nothing good about affliction. It's hard. It's difficult. It stinks. Yet David says, "It was good for me that I was afflicted." So right away, you've got to say, "David, how can that possibly be good?" And he says, "That I might learn your statutes." Now, what are God's statutes? Now, we could think about statutes as being God's list of rules, his do's and his don'ts, but that is far too small of a view of God. His statutes are who he is, how he lives. He calls us to be holy just as he is holy. And so his statutes are not simply his rules. They're his ways, the ways that he exists because of who he is. And so a better reading of this almost would be, "It is good for me that I went through this tough thing, that I was afflicted, that I went through this hard thing." Why? "That I might learn what it was like to be near you more." So for David, David says, "I went through this tough thing, and I had a choice in the middle of this tough thing, to fill in my own answers or to seek after the only one who probably has an answer." And probably is the wrong, but when I say probably, it's because you might not ever get that answer because it's too big for you to understand. But David says, "I want to get nearer to the Lord. It was good that I was afflicted because it drove me to the Lord. It was good that I didn't have an answer because it made me go to the one, the only one who could ever have an answer, even though I might never get that answer because I can't comprehend and fathom what it was." It's fascinating when you think about it. David can say that being afflicted was good because it drove him to the Lord. Now think about when Jesus goes around healing. What is the things he says to people when he heals them? He tells them, "Go and sin no more." What does that mean? He says, Jesus is saying, you are farther from God, and your affliction has brought you to him. Now don't distance yourself from him again. Because that's what sin is. Sin distances us from God. And so the same thing that David is saying here is the same thing that we see modeled as Jesus is going around and teaching. Now, in that, when we talk about afflictions, there's a whole lot of why, isn't there? There's a whole lot of wait. What do you mean? How can that be? Why did Johnny get cancer and Tommy not get cancer? Why did Susie live through cancer and this other person didn't? I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you. And listen, Jesus never gave answers for those things, did he? I was thinking about this the other day. You know, Jesus was walking around all of Israel, and he heals a man born blind. The Bible never says that Jesus... Now, I realize that there are seasons where it says that they brought to him all who were sick and infirmed, and they were healed. But far more of the healings... I know we love to rest in that, because everybody gets healed. Far more of the times in the Bible where miracle healing happens, it's one-on-one. So Jesus doesn't come and heal the man born blind. And the Bible doesn't say, and then he healed everybody who was born blind. Mm-hmm. It says he healed this man born blind. I guarantee you there were still probably many other people in Israel who were born blind who were still blind after that day. Why? I don't know. I don't know. But what does Jesus say when he heals a man born blind? He says, this was done so that you might see the glory of God. That you might what? This affliction was so that you might come closer to God and not go away. That's difficult, because in all those situations, we want to create answers, don't we, Mark?
Yeah, I'm thinking of that one. Tony Evans kind of addressed it a little bit. The disciples said, who sinned? Like his parents? Was there sin in his life? And Jesus says, no, this was because God wanted to bring glory. And then Tony Evans took it to say, next time you see somebody that's handicapped or whatever, recognize that God might be wanting to bring some change into your life, that they may be in the center of God's will and his program and his place. And don't ever look at anyone handicapped or whatever, because this example, this guy, you know, was in the very center of God's will, so God's plan could be revealed to everyone as this healing took place. And I'm also thinking about discipline, you know, in Proverbs and other places. It's, you know, a father disciplines his son that he loves.
Yeah.
Like, discipline is a good thing. It refines us. And like this affliction, I've heard people in testimonies, I would never have wished this cancer, this situation on anyone, but what God did through it, I wouldn't trade it for anything. So it's kind of that theme where God will take us through it. And yeah, discipline is not fun or easy, but it's good for us. And this affliction that David knew and went through drew him to God. And I think so many times when we operate in our own strength, the Lord sometimes has to really break us down so that we do lean into him and recognize, oh, Lord, forgive me for thinking I could do this without you.
Yeah, yeah. Or in thinking that I can somehow answer the question with an answer that is absolutely shallow compared to the depth of the true answer. But we can't get the answer. You know, we can't understand the answer. I mean, you know, who can know the mind of God? Who can fathom all his ways? Our Father is in heaven. He does as he pleases. He says that to Job, right? He says in the 39th chapter of Job, who laid the cornerstones? Who did this? Who did that? It wasn't you, Job. And then three chapters later, Job repents of not understanding what God was doing. And so maybe some of this process begins, you know, when you're saying, wait a second, though, but that verse is still really offensive. Psalm 119, verse 71, for it is good for me that I was afflicted. Maybe it begins with repentance. In repenting, God, that I didn't know what you were doing, and in not knowing what you were doing, I was trying to come up with a reason why you must be doing it, and that reason was a real far cry from what it was you were really doing in it. And I'm not asking you in some sort of unhealthy way or some sort of way that is not good to embrace your affliction, but I want you to embrace your story in the middle of your affliction, because that is, God is building something into you. The Bible says, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. God is preparing us and our story for eternity. He's preparing us for that moment where he will usher us home. And so there's a lot of this life we don't understand. And yet there is something that we do understand, and it's what God has revealed about himself to us in his word. He's told us enough that when he leaves the room, when it appears that we don't know what's happening with him, we know enough to be secure in the fact of who he is. He loves us, he cares about us, and he wants what's best for us. Listen, he loves us so much he doesn't want us to stay the way that we are. He cares so much about us that he probably grieves what we have to go through with us. And he cares about us so much, he doesn't want us to remain the same. Mm-hmm. He wants us to become what he knows that we can become. And because he's God, he knows what the best possible Mark Burns looks like. And he wants to move Mark Burns towards becoming that, towards Jason and becoming that. And that involves a lot of difficult, hard seasons that sometimes it won't be till the end of it where we can say, whoa, it was good for me to go through that. Mm-hmm. Because it made me become closer to the Lord.
Right. And I think, like you're saying, it's so key that we understand his nature, who he mm-hmm. is, and we rest in what we know about him, that he's a loving God, a caring God, full of grace and mercy. That verse, his mercies are new every morning. I put that in an email to a friend the other day, that God does love us, and the fact that we exist, he brought us into this universe because he saw value in us and he wants us for all eternity. So if you're somebody that hasn't connected with God on a personal level, recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ, the method, the means, the plan that he has, that redemptive plan for your soul, for your life, to spend eternity with him, please talk with Jason. Go to a good Bible-believing church this Sunday. A pastor would love to share about the salvation that's offered as a free gift to you. Any Christian, most any Christian you find, hopefully they'd be excited to share about who Jesus is.
And
anything we could do to help facilitate that, call the station, stop by here at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square. We'd love to introduce you to the love that God has through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, what a great message for the weekend to take with us today. Take it with you to work, to your neighborhood, to your friends, out on the golf course, wherever you're going to be, at the swimming pool, whatever you're going to be doing today. Have Jesus on your lips and see who God will orchestrate
in your life. It's like 95 degrees today. I think that you better be at the pool.
Yeah, that's right. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.